Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what's the hot topic we've discussed this week?
I want to talk about something that a lot of people haven't really approached within this industry, and it's the topic of elevator pitches. And job seekers, before you tune this out, what I want to do is focus on the business proposition or the business practice of creating elevator pitches and how you as a job seeker can leverage this practice to become a better interviewer. And when I worked for IBM, we as project executives were expected to craft elevator pitches so that if we were caught in a situation to where we had a potential client standing right across from us, aka in an elevator, as an example, we would be able within 30 to 60 seconds describe what we do and about our product. And it was a very powerful way to get clear and concise about the message that you wanted to give. And if you transpose that into a job seeker's purview, then you could leverage the concept of elevator pitches to create short and memorable introductions that clearly communicate who you are, what you do best, the value that you bring to an employer. And you want to keep them short, like I said, 30 to 60 seconds. But imagine being in an elevator, the time it would take to climb or decline several floors. And they become powerful anchors for really tough interview questions like, tell me about yourself. Why did you leave your last position? Why are you interested in this role? Why have you been out of work since last January? Those types of things, because it'll help you be focused, confident, and relevant.
I love this. We talk a lot about in our other webinars and other podcasts about the three W's. The who is your ideal client or company? What is your ideal position and tasks? And why are you passionate about the role you want? And I think in order to tell your story in a short elevator pitch, you have to outline all three of those things. You have to know who you want to work for, and what's your ideal position and why you want that role. So those can help you articulate both in an elevator pitch and in an interview what the hiring manager wants to hear, which is all about hand selecting their opportunity. That's always going to be your ideal focus. So team, what concepts do we have for folks about crafting an elevator pitch or prepping for the interview to get your thoughts across?
Well, I think the elevator pitch is really important because you can almost be guaranteed that the interviewer is going to ask the question, you know, so tell me about yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's your chance to make a great first impression from the very beginning of the interview. And basically, I would say just be clear and concise, kind of stick with, you know, your name, your experience, and what you're looking for. You don't need to give a lot of details, maybe have like three main points. I often get candidates who kind of ramble on and on about all their experience over the years, which honestly doesn't give them the greatest first impression. It doesn't sound organized and it's kind of just rambling. Yeah. So being prepared for that question, you know, kind of really starts the interview off on a good foot.
Yeah. And sometimes, Jenny, they get too personal. Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, I've got three kids and a dog and I like to do hikes and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, that's not what this question is.
You have
for.
X number of minutes with me. Let's bridge back to the point. Right. Yeah. So, I absolutely agree with that. I think that the too personal piece, I mean, will I care that you're a mom of three? Yes. When you're working with me, absolutely. I will care that you're a mom of three and we're going to talk about your kiddos and genuinely encouragement and, you know, those types of things. But during an interview, I agree. Jenny's point is a very valid one. Pick the top three areas that are relevant to that job and that company, because you have a limited amount of time with that interviewer. Now, you may have all the time in the world, but the interviewer is probably interviewing back to back. And so picking those top three points, because you remember, you need to be memorable because they're probably interviewing all day long. We do. How many interviews a day do we do here? So you want to make sure that you are being memorable, but in a good way, but being very specific about the putting together the pitch for that type of a question is very important.
I agree with Jenny, and I would also like to add that when you do pick some topics, like your three main topics, maybe add in there what led you to want to work in that industry or a little bit about that, because sometimes, not sometimes, but the person that's interviewing is going to want to know where your passion for that industry came from. Why? Mm-hmm. It's that connection, because not only are they going to interview you for your experience and your therapeutic background and systems backgrounds and things like that, but they also want to know why you're in this industry. Are you just looking at it as a job, or can we see you part of our team wanting to make a difference in our studies or whatever the industry may be? So I would add that one point when you're picking your main points as far as your elevator pitches. Don't forget about the why you're in the industry and how it led you into it. So
that's where you get personal.
Yeah.
That's where you
don't
get personal.
Too personal.
But I love talking to candidates who say, my therapeutic experience is oncology because I chose to focus on oncology because I had a mother who had, or a grandmother who had, I want to hear those why stories. Mm-hmm. That's the personal that you want to get. Tell me about that. Don't tell me about your dog.
Right. Exactly.
And I think so many people freeze up when they're in an interview and they're not sure exactly what to talk about. So if you feel like you need to prepare by writing things out, great. I mean, they're going to ask you about your therapeutic experience, what clinical trials you worked on, et cetera. You have all of that written out so you're not surprised. But most of the time, if you know what you want, the interview should go smoothly. You just need to focus on making a real connection with the hiring manager, seeing them as a real person, that they're just not this evil robot on the other side of a screen. You know, they want to give you a job. You made it so far to make it to an interview. So just take the time to focus on selling yourself. And as you said, like an elevator pitch. I mean, why should they want to hire you? And turn any toxic drama that you've had in your past, you need to turn that into a growth mindset. So if they asked you why you've left a toxic environment, you need to be ready with an answer that does not sound like you're focused in the drama. Because if you do, they're going to think that you're part of the drama.
Yeah, and that's why preparation ahead of time is so important. And that's why we're talking about elevator pitches, because you have to get it ready. You have to get it right. You got to practice it.
I agree. To Carrie's point, this is your time to sell yourself to the hiring manager. This is your limelight. Those 30 to 60 seconds is the best time of your life to really sell yourself to the hiring managers, because this is going to be the foundation of your interview. Usually, hiring managers draw their questions based on what you have told them initially. And so focus on your success stories in all of those years of experience. In that way, your hiring managers can, you know, ask you questions that you would be able to answer confidently. And after that, on a side note, don't forget also to ask questions to the hiring manager. In that way, they could see how engaged you are and how interested you are about their company and about the position that you are applying for. At the end of the day, it's really the engagement and the communication with the hiring manager.
Yeah, and you'll be more likely to ask those questions if you're less worried about what you're saying. If you already know coming in what your elevator pitch is for why you're looking for a job. I saw someone had a post this morning and I really wanted to just jump right in there, but I didn't for multiple reasons. But she was complaining that an interviewer had asked her why she'd been out of work since last January. Because she said it stung. Okay, I get it. You guys, this market is one of the toughest I've seen, and I've been in the hiring position for almost 3 decades. And there's going to be a lot of people that have been out of work for a very long period of time. You guys need to expect the hiring manager to ask that question, though. It's a very valid question. Why have you been out of work for the last 2 years? It's not that anyone's trying to slander you and no one's trying to stab you in your heart, even though you might feel it. But I want to make sure that we're calling out is the elevator, writing the elevator pitch will help you get right in your head, because the question is going to be asked, and it's not that someone's trying to punch you in your face. They want to know what your answer is and what you've done with that downtime. And we've just recently written some articles about that. Putting together that elevator pitch in anticipation of that type of question up front enables you to be able to go in, handle the question with grace and wisdom, being able to be an advocate for yourself and your process while you've had this downtime looking for a position. And then, to Rachel's point, turn it back around and take control of the interview and be able to ask questions. Now your feelings aren't hurt and you're not stung and you're not reeled because you were asked a question that you should have been expecting to begin with. You're prepared and you're ready and you're in control of the interview. And that's what elevator pitches will do for you, is to keep you in control of the interview rather than the interviewer.
And you know, it's really interesting too. I found, as a self-proclaimed extrovert, I find like, I feel like I'm good at bringing like energy and like warmth and passion to the interview and to the elevator pitch. But you know who is probably a little bit better than me is the introverts. They bring like, well, they because they don't necessarily ramble like I do, or they're, you know, they don't get caught on the long-winded stories. They come with like precise, high impact mm-hmm. stories that are structured. They are ready to go. Like, here I am up front, and they're, because they're like, they're not ready to ramble. They're ready to get to the point and show why they are there. And I'm like, I always want to learn from that. I was like, how do I focus in? How do I nail? And I feel like I'm getting better, but you know, maybe this podcast will prove me wrong. But one thing I found too, but whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, I found that like the best way to do it, one of the best way to convey your story, your passion, your high impact story, is something called a micro story, which is only 30 to 40 seconds. And it has like four components. You've got your context, your action, the impact, and then you tie it back. So it's like, we had three clients with three conflicting trials and priorities. So that's the context. The action is, what steps did I take to help make sure all deadlines were met? What was the impact? Happy clients. And then tie it back to the role. That's why I am super duper suited for this role. It's so flexible and adaptable. And when you start practicing it in that way, like context, action, impact, tie back, your stories flow so much easier, I found. And I did learn this trick from an introvert. So, you know, for someone who self-proclaimed. Anyways, and so that's something I've really found is helpful. Like, what are the steps? What do you want to convey in 30 to 40 seconds? You know, there are so many ways to do it, you know, to get the rambling out of the way, to be precise in what you're trying to say. And we got us extroverts, we got lots to learn. I'm good, you know. Savannah, you're my introvert friend.
Yes. I like that we have those different personalities, Maya, because I like how you go into your interview like that. Meanwhile, me, I feel like I'm being hunted for sport a little bit. So I like, I need to, I'm like, okay, lock in. But it's, you know, it's important to remember that, you know, it's okay to be nervous if you are nervous for your interview. And I think one of the most important things that's not only helpful for, you know, nerves in an interview, but overall life, is the importance of cognitive reframing. You know, when you're about to go into the interview and your brain starts to have those thoughts like, oh my gosh, I can't mess this up. This is really important. I need this. Just change it into, I'm well prepared for this interview and I'm ready to handle this conversation. You know, when you start to feel your heart race, you know, it can that signals your brain like, oh, something's going on, something's wrong. But no, you're in an interview. You should feel excited. So change your thinking to, I'm very excited for this interview, instead of, oh, I feel so anxious. And just remember that, focus the energy that you're feeling in your body and channel that into something else, so it's less distracting and you can focus on the interview. For example, putting your feet firm on the ground. If you're doing a video interview or you're on a video call, take something on your desk and just kind of mess with it. I like to mess with a pen. You know, Carrie mentioned she likes to draw on her notebook. So just something like that to help distract you a little bit. And just remember that the hiring manager wants to hire you just as much as you want to be hired. So just do your best, and it might feel like a test, but it's really not, and they do want you to succeed.
Because these guys, we work with so many hiring managers that absolutely abhor interviewing. Hate it. it takes them away from their core function, which is to run clinical trials. They would much rather be managing clinical operations instead of having interview after interview after interview to decide who to add to the team. They want to hire you. The job is yours to lose. Now, you are competing with other individuals, but other people who have a similar resume to you are getting through because of their interview skills and their mindset and the way they're approaching the job search in general. Preparation is key. Now, what we're going to do for all of you guys that are listening is we've kind of touched on this topic of what is an elevator pitch, how can job seekers use it. I love the micro story concept, very similar in the approach. And so what I would challenge the listeners to do, because this is what we're going to do for you, is I want you to take this information and I want you to start thinking about how can you craft elevator pitches for some of the big questions. Some of the ones that we've already touched on and that I have written down is, tell me about yourself. That's a big one. You guys, we have an article about that too, about what they're really looking for. So go to CRAresources.com/blog, look at that, tell me about, just do a Google search or do a search on the wiki for tell me about myself, tell me about yourself, and you're going to find that article and it'll give you a lot of tips. But write an elevator pitch for that, or at least take a stab at it. Why did you leave your last position? Write an elevator pitch for that. Why have you been out of work since January, December, 18 months, whatever it is? Write an elevator pitch about that. Why are you interested in this position? If you've taken a break, I'm dealing with someone right now in the coaching program that had to take an extended leave because he had knee surgery and it didn't go well. So what is the elevator pitch for explaining that, right? So come up with some of these questions and go ahead and start writing elevator pitches. And then what we'll do when we get back together in our next roundtable and our next recording is we're going to role play. We're going to share some of the elevator pitches we've written that and the points that we considered whenever we were putting them together so that you guys can kind of see our view in action. Now, our way won't necessarily be your way and it won't be the right or wrong way either way, but it'll give you a little bit of insight as to some of the tools that you can use in order to actually craft very well thought out elevator pitches and be ready for your next interview. And so in the meantime, think about some common mistakes. You want to practice your elevator pitches out loud, but you don't want to sound like a robot. You want to sound genuine, you want to sound honest, and you want to be able to be flexible. To Maya's point, you don't always know what the questions are going to be. So if you've got like practiced a few stories, then you can very easily map those macro stories into other situations. So just practice, don't sound robotic, and then let's loop back together and share what we've come up with, and then you guys can kind of take a look at what you've come back and fine-tune it. And get better and better and better at your interviewing preparation and approach.
All right. Well, thank you, team, for this discussion. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit CRAresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox and feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm. We cannot wait to work with you.